Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone, yes.
And so having said that, knowing that you're here, I will call the Wilmer Municipal Utilities Commission to order on this date, Monday, December 23rd at almost 11:45. And we'll start out with any changes to the presented agenda that's come out to the commission. Hearing none, we'll move on to the next to approve the consent agenda. And the consent agenda includes our minutes from our December, not 23rd meeting.
The 9th.
A little correction there. It should be the 9th, not the 23rd for the minutes. Meeting and then a review and approval of our payment of bills in the amount of $2,283,968.68. And I look for a resolution to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Motion for the resolution to has been made for the consent agenda, and I open it up for discussion. Any questions along the way here on some of the bills on this day? That was a pretty hefty payment, but they're all within order here, I believe. Any questions from anyone? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Certainly. Commissioner Magnuson?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Mabou?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
Leek?
Aye.
Okay, and that motion for the resolution for the payment is carried. And then we'll go on to our Planning Commission meeting minutes, and ask our Commissioner DeBleek to give us a report, an overview of that.
Thank you. Planning Committee met on December 10th. We had first item on our agenda was the annual review of our operations policy. General Manager Heron introduced the Compliance HR Manager Johnson, who reviewed with the committee annual updates proposed for the operations policy, including a schedule of changes. Johnson provided a step-by-step review of the proposed revisions to the 2020 operations policy. The following amendments were being recommended by staff for consideration. The operations policy was transfer of account balances was changed, increased the threshold for disconnection of service, clarification of downtown decorative street lights, and address multiple services from one water meter service line, and then update energy service programs language, and move the sign to MRES and update the appendixes. Under the purchasing policy, minimal changes to note, added Missouri River Energy Service to reflect Missouri MRS role in the repower supply. And all invoice purchases will now go through the purchasing agent for approval. Next item was the emergency contingency plan for 2020. Contract listings and titles were revised, land and water and power plant. Each have departmental contingency plans, which are combined to form the WMU emergency contingency plan. Generation and transmission is going to be addressed in the near future. And in the schedule changes, there was minimal changes. two items solely listed for placeholders proposed to be addressed in the future, and then water service connection fees will be increased. Under the investment policy, we just added benchmark indexes. The committee, after reviewing the proposed policies, it was consensus of the committee to recommend approval of the proposed policy modifications as presented, and the commission will be requested to approve at this December 23rd meeting. Item number two, we discussed with General Manager Heron, informed the committee that staff has been contacted by ZEP representatives regarding their intent to install electric vehicle charging stations in Minnesota, including the Wilmer area. As part of this charging station program, through the Volkswagen emissions settlement, ZEP has requested the utility to deviate from the standard electric rate with a reduced rate for the stations. Staff is currently compiling data regarding potential load and will be responding with options for ZEP to consider, which could include installing multiple meters along with utilization of the load share program without a demand charge. This option could reduce the rate without actually subsidizing the electric vehicle program. Additional options will be further addressed if required. With that, the committee adjourned, and I will introduce a motion to file these minutes.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner DeBrake. Is there a second for that?
Second.
Okay, the motion's been made and second to accept the Planning Commission's meeting minutes. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 That motion carries. And the opposition, I should say. Now, with that, as you see the details of, it was in the meeting minutes, but the details are listed under each one of those in details for the what has been done or changed. And if you go, and then you go all the way through, like through to the operations policy manual. And I'm just going to ask at this point, before with that, if there's any questions at this point. When you look through each one of those that they reviewed, there's the policy under that, the purchasing line, the emergency plan, the schedule of charges, and the investment policy. All are operational issues. Is there questions in any one of those areas from the commission? There was a lot of reading to go through for that. The planning committee, I believe, looked over that in detail, but again, there's questions in any one of those areas. If not, at this point, I would look for a resolution, a motion for the resolution to accept the operations policies.
Madam Chair, if I could point out the two changes that you made myself aware of before the meeting here today, that they would be part of that motion, and one in the ops policy under 9.5 terms and condition for load share, under L, we got loss of injury, it should be loss or injury, and then under the emergency plan that we add Caris Health and over the top of Rice Memorial. So with those two changes. Be part of the motion, and then we'll make those changes and then update the policies.
Since no one seconded the initial.
No, you don't have a motion yet, but I just wanted to mention that so that we don't have to go back and amend the motion.
Yeah.
With those changes, I'll introduce a resolution. We accept the policy.
Okay.
Operations policy.
And is there a second?
Second.
Motion for the resolution to accept the operations policies that have been made. Any further discussion on those? Okay, a lot of more just kind of clarification on a lot of them, so it wasn't in detail, but I was open to that. Hearing none, roll call, please.
Okay. Commissioner Lammer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Mabou?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, Beth.
Madam Chair, did we vote on the approving of the minutes? Sorry.
I don't get to be a lot in there.
I'm with it. I'm nervous.
Okay, we'll go next to the approval of the Labor Committee's meeting minutes of December 20th, and I'll ask Commissioner Weber to give that report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Labor Committee met on Friday, December 20th at 12 p.m. We have several items to discuss. The first item was a 2020 wage adjustment for the non-union personnel for the utility. A lot of discussion and presentation of data based on the data provided. Requested that the committee consider the 2020 wage adjustment for non-union staff to be between 3% and 3.25%. We're also contacted by our current health care insurance provider that the utility would be receiving a 17% increase in insurance premiums for 2020. And per the policy that we have, employees are responsible for 50% of this increase. Again, there was more discussion. It was a recommendation of the staff that the utility pick up additional deductible, as well as the cost of living increase greater than 2.75%. So the increase in the health insurance premium would be $100 for a single deductible and $200 for the family deductible. It was offered as a motion to the committee that the commission approve 3.25 adjustment for all non-union employees, excluding manager Heron, which we will discuss later, and to cover the increase in the deductible of $100 for single and $200 for family as recommended. That motion carried 3-0. 3-yes and 0-no. Item number 2, there was a union request for the insurance deductible as well. Again, the committee voted based on staff recommendation to approve the $100 single and $200 family premium increase. Again, that was voted on as the Labor Committee, and it passed 3-yes and 0-no. Again, that's for your approval today. Item number 3, we're informed of a retirement. Joel Bregerman has announced his retirement effective April 30th, 2021. So he's given us 18 months or so to notice and to find his replacement. Item number 4, there was the general manager year-end review. The annual review was conducted with input of all the commissioners and compiled by attorney Robert Scott. We also went through 2019 goals that were listed previously and progress against those. As we went through the review, there was some discussion on clarity on some of the items, but in general, the year-end review of Manager Heron was very positive, and we appreciate his leadership and management in 2019. We also voted to increase Manager Heron's wages as well for the 3.25%, along with the 1% step increase, and to cover his increases in deductible and health insurance, the same as non-union employees as well. So that's the recommendation of those four items there. There's some miscellaneous items brought up that we will cover in future labor committee meetings, and committee adjourned at 2:05 p.m. So I submit for the minutes as a motion for approval.
The minutes of the labor committee meeting minutes have motion has been made. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and second. Discussion. Hearing none, all in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. That motion carries. And as part of those meeting minutes, as listed, we have two resolutions that need to be handled. And the first one is to approve the 2029 union wage adjustments, including as listed, the increase for paying the deductible, the insurance costs there. I would entertain a motion for that resolution.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, that has been approved on the wage adjustments. Questions? Discussion?
Is that the union wage adjustment?
No, this is only for non-union, non-union office personnel, that type of thing. Anyone that's not covered by the union. The union was a three-year contract that goes through 2020 yet. Yeah. They have requested that insurance benefit, and will that was made in the recommendations that would be included as well.
Madam Chair, if I can comment on that, looking at our agenda, we missed that on our agenda for approval, so we'll need to amend our agenda to include that.
Okay. I wondered about that, if I had to do that separately, but for that, for the union one. Okay, so this time it includes for the non-union wage adjustment and the insurance adjustment for non-union, at this point, for the non-union people. Okay. And that resolution is okay and second? It's following the discussion, is that okay that we add that insurance piece? Even though it was only the wage adjustment, we're making for both wage and insurance.
Wouldn't that be a second resolution for union?
Yeah, but I'm talking just for the non-union. We only have listed wage adjustment. Well, I suppose I'm thinking that the insurance benefits is a piece of it.
Madam Chair, for clarification, it would probably be advisable to make that change as noted there, that it would be approved 2020 non-union wage and insurance adjustment.
And as the motion that I submitted for that, it will be adjusted as such.
Okay. Yes.
And a second on that. Okay. Thank you. Questions on that? None. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Mattern?
Aye.
Mabul?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye. And then the next we'll do is, because it was a union request in there, we'll make a resolution to that effect for the insurance adjustment for union employees.
So move.
Second.
Second.
That's been that motion to accept the resolution for the union adjustment for insurances has been made and seconded. Any further discussion on that? And just a point of information on that, the union had requested that, right? Is that the one that it says union requested it, but not for... follow that.
Madam Chair, that would be correct. The union requested that the commission give consideration to picking up the deductible on the single policy. The Labor Committee is recommending that we pick up the deductible on the single as well as the family.
Like as for non-employment. Okay. Was it made, motion made on that yet?
Second.
Okay, and second. Any further discussion? Roll call on that.
Commissioner Mabul?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Blommer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Okay. All right. And then the last one here on the recommendation from the Labor Committee has to do with the general manager's wage adjustment and insurance. I guess we can include that in on that one as well before we do that. And again, I just want to say thank you to all the commissioners that got that survey filled out and completed. Manager Heron has been doing a very good job has been doing a good job, I guess I should say, pretty close to excellent on all the reviews, and those were shared with you that he has met his 19 goals and explained those to us, and he has the 2020 goals set and for your review as well. And again, approve that. I look for approval of the wage adjustment for him, which includes a 3.25% as well as a one-step increase. So, motion to accept that resolution.
I'll make the motion.
And I will second that. Discussion.
Yeah, I have a quick question. You know,
sure.
I know that our general manager has been really doing a great job in terms of really supporting and the work that he's doing. I'm sure he meets all the requirements. But my concern is just that, you know, do we have enough time to fill up the survey? You know, because I'm one of the individuals who did not fill up that survey. I didn't have enough time. So I was wondering, do we have really... Can we stretch in the future to just to have time-wise, because it seems to me a very short period of time to really do quickly.
And interesting you ask that, because it was brought up at the committee meeting that about the length of time, yeah. But was stated that the more time you get, it goes down to the bottom of the to-do list at your office, and then doesn't get completed, that a shorter period of time makes you get it done. So either way, perhaps we'll just, how about if we review that again for next year, and if you are having trouble, I would ask maybe that you give the chair a call on it.
No, actually I saw the email and I didn't even open up. I was just waiting until I get really time for myself, but I realized it's already
sure.
Was included, and I was kind of like,
I didn't
have my input, so kind of, you know, because this is very matter that I'm really considering to be one of the important items that we need to do, but it would be really nice if we have more flexible or more time to do such thing.
Okay, well, perhaps we'll make a special point at the preceding, or and when it gets closer to that time, we can just make an announcement at the meeting, you know, prior to that, so that we just an extra reminder for us and with everyone with their busy schedules that they do it. Any further comments? Again, just I want to thank John for the good job that he is doing, and that's acknowledged by the commission. And roll call, please.
Okay, Commissioner Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Blommer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Mabul?
Aye.
Okay, and that resolution carries. Okay, well, let's go on to our educational topics and updates. Again, we've started that at year-end always and review that. And first one we'll do with the safety and marketing and energy services, and I'll ask Michelle Rotsky to give us a report on that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's been a busy year in all three areas, the energy services, marketing, and safety. So you all have a copy of the presentation in your packet, so I'll just touch on some of the highlights that we've been doing here. I'll start with energy services, and I will touch on the cooperative resources that we have, Missouri River Energy Services programs, our load share program, and an update with our LCM changeout, and the goals that we have for 2020. So looking at our cooperative resources, these are things in the community, different organizations that we work with. One of these is UCAP, formerly known as the Heartland Community Action Program. And in 2019, we designated $20,000 specifically for the district heat replacement assistance. And that is for customers who already work with UCAP or may be able to qualify under some of their programs to receive assistance in making that switch over to a new furnace system. And so far in 2018, five customers received assistance and two more are in process for 2020. So they continue to work with their clientele, making sure that they're identifying those customers and giving them assistance. Unused funds from 2019 will be carried over to 2020, and that will just help keep that pot a little bit bigger so that we can help as many people as possible. Another resource that I have worked with several times over the course of the year is CERTS, the Clean Energy Resource Team. They are a group through the state, and they provide individuals and communities with resources for clean energy projects. There are just many ways that I can work with them, and I have some contacts that they call me if they have questions. I call them. I refer customers to them with things like the PACE program funding if customers want to do some big energy savings projects and they need a little bit of help with different funding sources. CERTS will do that. And then another resource I found is RETAP. That's the Retiree Environmental Technical Assistance Program. They do free assessments for commercial and industrial properties. They'll come in and look at a building and look at how they can improve efficiencies. And of course, when we improve efficiencies, we reduce our costs, we save energy. It's really good for everyone around. And that is through the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. But I have a gentleman that I work with there, and I've referred people to him, and I believe they're trying to get more in greater Minnesota. They've done a lot of work in the metro, and they have come out and either have already come out or are scheduled to come out for, I think, 3 to 5 projects that they're looking at in Wilmer. And that really their job is just to provide that free assessment. And then it just really is a starting point for customers. And then they can work with us on our rebate programs. You know, if they go into the CERT side with working on funding for those things, it all comes together in the end.
I just think that's kind of an odd name, calling a retiree. You mean that special category, I think. Okay,
and it's a free assessment, I should point that out. So, all right, so just looking at our Bright Energy Solutions rebate program. So in the past, we had our own rebate program. Now that we are an S1 member with Missouri River Energy Services, we just follow their rebate program. All of the things that they put out, we do their program. That really streamlines a lot of the details of the programs. It streamlines the accounting of the programs, the payments, everything. This is as of December 9th. We have paid out to customers $57,000, and we've had 704,000 kilowatt hours saved. And you'll see that the biggest savings on there is the commercial industrial retrofit lighting. So anyone who is taking out those old T8 and T12 ballasts, maybe putting in the LED plug-and-plays. The one thing to note is when with these lighting projects, they have to be lights that are DLC qualified. DLC is Design Light Consortium, and that is the equivalent of Energy Star. So when we do, like on the bottom, the residential Energy Star, someone gets a new fridge, they get a rebate from us, it has to be Energy Star rated. And by having those qualifications, we're making sure that equipment that truly is certified to be energy saving is being installed.
Does that include lighting then?
I'm sorry, what's that?
Will that include a person's home for lighting? And
there is an Energy Star rebate for switching from the old fluorescent light bulbs to LED light bulbs. So when you go to the store as a warmer resident, a customer of utility, you can go to the store, buy your 4-pack of light bulbs, make sure they have Energy Star on there, bring your receipt, bring the copy of like your UPC or where it says it's the Energy Star, and we get $1.50 per light bulb as a rebate. So, yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Moving into, again, Missouri River Energy Services, we have the Bright Energy Choices Green Energy Program. This was a big topic a little while back, and I just wanted to give the commission an update on where we are with it. And this is for renewable energy certificates, or RECs, that will be available through Missouri River. We have an estimated purchase of 1,997,241 kilowatts for those RECs. We have 26 customers signed up as of December 9th of 2019. And we will be promoting this, like in our January bill stuff, or doing some things like that to try to get more of our customers interested in it or asking questions about it. It's really the REC program, as some of you may remember, is a great way for customers who maybe don't have the room to put up a solar panel or a wind farm of their own in town, but they can still support the development and research of these renewable projects that we have going on. And as discussed, the remainder, whatever difference between what is estimated and what our customers use, we will apply the rest toward the utility's own use for the renewable energy certificates. There is a school program through Missouri River Energy Services. It is an energy unit designed for fifth grade, and I worked closely last year with the STEM teachers at all three of the public elementary schools. In 2020, we have added Community Christian. So it comes as a kit, and everything that the teacher needs is in the kit, and everything is listed there. Kennedy, Roosevelt, and Lakeland participated. There were 301 students and 10 teachers involved in the project. And it's a cost share, meaning that Wilmer Municipal Utilities pays half and Missouri River pays half. So our cost was about $6,400. And the nice thing, you know, of course, in education, everything is an assessment. Where was the knowledge? Where did it go? So pre-program score of knowledge was 61%. After the program finished, it increased to 73%. All right, our load share program. The load share was implemented on 14 days over the summer months for a total of 76.5 hours. And King's Electric, you may recall, they are the electricians that are going out and installing our new LCMs that we are replacing. So we had about 2,500 LCMs out at customer locations in Wilmer. We replaced all of them. We're not quite finished yet, but that was a big project this year, is replacing what was out there already. And weather is always a challenge in Minnesota, especially so this year. It was a cold and wet start. It was a wet summer, and then it got cold and it got wet again. So King's has done a nice job of just keeping after this as often as they can. And they've even said, you know, over the winter, if it's above 30 degrees, they can send people out to install. So we've had several programming challenges, and that is with the actual units themselves and the communication back to the utility. And we are working with Census, who is the programmer and the manufacturer of these units. So we just keep working with them. We have a lot of things that we see now that we're able to ask more questions about than we were with the previous program. And another thing we just found out a couple of weeks ago, Census is creating a new radio. So when you open up the LCM, there's a radio inside of it, and that's what gives us our communication. They are creating some enhancements to it and are no longer producing the one that we have. However, that won't cause any issues. They will still work together. So we don't have to go out and replace what's already out there. Everything will work just fine. There are delays in production. So we're looking at later 2020 to 2021 when we start talking citywide implementation or, you know, adding many new customers onto this program. So we have a delay in that we're working through. And I did find out this morning, we are able to use the cost of our LCM replacement project in our SIP reporting. Cool. So that is a significant thing that we can do. So we have a few goals that we wrote up. Completing the replacement project for the LCMs, and that again is just completing what was started already, and then our next phase is to move into citywide implementation or however we decide to run that program going forward. We also want to get an implement a key accounts program, and our key accounts are those customers that are high usage and just have something a little more formal in place. Just been a talk to who we think needs our help, but just get a little more information and more formality to that program. And then increasing awareness of the rebate program through customer outreach. That is something that we do definitely through the marketing side, and we have several options that we pursue with that, with social media, with the website, with community events, things like that. All right, now, as I just mentioned, going into the marketing side. So I'm just going to go over the outreach, our paperless billing, website and social media, and then our activities that we've done here. This is just a list of outreach. Some of the things that we have done, pretty much everyone in the utility touches on a lot of these things. So in our Public Power Week, we have student visits where students come in, they learn about the water department, they learn about the engineering department, line crew, they learn a lot of different things from people. And then our open house, we served about 800 customers. That comes out to about 8.4% of our customer base. And it was about $14.25 per person that attended that it cost. And we had the electric lawnmower as our door prize. That was new this year. And Missouri River they did something brand new this year with doing Watskers, you know, the Oscars, the Watskers. And we submitted our open house, and they awarded us for an extraordinary event, something that touches the community and the members that we serve. So paperless billing, we give a $10 credit when customers sign up. It is a one-time credit, and between January 1st and December 9th, we had 725 customers sign up. Now, that is just customers. That is not number of accounts. One customer may have three accounts. They still just get one $10 credit for that. And the $10 gift card we did give at the open house. So that night, anyone who signed up at the open house got a $10 gift card to a various vendor of their choice in town. And we did not offer the promotion in September or October, which was interesting because we did notice that our numbers fell off by not offering that promotion. So that was a good kind of test to see what's going on there.
Just you can get back to me, but if there's 725 customers, how many would you anticipate as a total number?
I'm not even sure. I'm not sure.
1,500, I believe.
Yeah.
Check for sure.
Yeah, we can check for sure just to have a good pulse on that. I know it's a decent number.
Yeah.
So our website, again, a whole bunch of statistics, things like that. Just a couple of things to point out that the session number of sessions was up, the number of new users was up. Our bounce rate was down, but that's actually a good thing because bounce rate is when people go to your website and they just leave it. And they really didn't go do anything. So that means, you know, people are going to it and doing something, looking for something. And the top five pages viewed had to do with Smart Hub contacting us. There's a customer service or ways to pay section, the employment area, and then energy programs and rebates. And then again, more facts and figures on social media. Our primary social media are Facebook and Instagram. And we are not quite double, but have quite a few more followers on there. And I just want to point out the fourth bullet there, the highest reaching posts are things about people. Anything that's related to people, like things they can do, things that affect them, things that people are doing. So that was interesting information to find out too. People want to know about things that affect them. And we have not paid to boost any posts, if any of you are familiar with that. So everything is considered organic, meaning we put the post out there and it just does its thing. So looking at our goals for 2020, I have considered updating the customer lobby. There's not a whole lot we can do with it, but maybe putting some different pictures up there or a different theme, something like that. And continue to increase the participation in paperless billing, of course. And we've also talked about doing two education events for using Smart Hub. It could just be a half-hour session, just getting some people who maybe aren't familiar with using smartphones or tablets or whatever devices to get them signed up for Smart Hub and using the features that are in that. And doing a welcome packet for new customers. We have not had one. I don't know if we used to, but we do not have one right now. So getting that together and working with customer service on the things that they see would be beneficial for customers to know when they first sign up with us. And evaluating our open house for opportunities there. And that's it for marketing. So I will just, the safety slides, I think there are four or five, pretty quick. And this is our safety committee. These are the people in the organization that are, making the suggestions, bringing the suggestions from their teams back to the committee. And I appreciate everyone on this team. They've done a great job and have been very engaged and very active and helpful in promoting a culture of safety at Wilmer Municipal Utilities. I wanted to mention our safety training partners. We have Ridgewater College as our general trainer, and then MMUA, of course, has our JT&S program. We also did a special grounding training with Candio High Power Cooperative with a gentleman by the name of Brady Hansen. That was very much appreciated. And our wind turbine climbing, and then we had a flu shot clinic. So just some people that we've worked with and partnered with. Statistics, we had two near miss reports. First reports of injury, we had four, and one sought medical treatment. And we did not have any lost time injuries. Just a side note on these, as we tell staff, report. If something happens, we need to know so that we can help make it better. It is not a direct reflection on someone or a department or anything. It is simply we need to know so we can make it better and help that it doesn't happen again. And as of December 13th, we had 1,106 days or 26,544 hours of no lost time. And so our safety goals in 2019 were zero lost time injuries. Obviously, we met that. And zero housekeeping issues. That was met. In the past, we've had our walkthroughs, and there have maybe been an instance where we need to fix it now. We can't leave until we get this fixed. There was none of that this year. And again, that just shows the commitment to staff's, the culture of safety. And having 100% training completion within 30 days of the training date, and staff has done a great job of getting this done. They know when they get that email and they get the links to go watch that training, then they need to get it done. And we really appreciate everything they do in making that happen. This is just a note about our safety awards, and we did receive the 2018 Meritorious Achievement Award from the Minnesota Safety Council, as well as a Safety Award of Excellence, the first place one from APPA. And that is all I have. Any questions?
I just jumped in and asked mine, so
okay.
Thank you very much, Michelle. That's excellent, and again, commend all the staff regarding the safety. I mean, that's outstanding.
Yeah. All right. Thanks.
Okay. And then we'll go to the compliance activity, and I'll ask our manager in the compliance and HR, Janelle, to speak on that.
Thank you, and good afternoon, Madam Chair and Commissioners. In your packets, you received the 2019 compliance activity summary. As the summary explains, we're regulated by NERC, North American Reliability Corporation, because of our transmission assets that we own and that are on the grid. We work very hard to follow and stay in compliance with the industry, which is an ongoing challenge due to the fast-changing pace and dynamics of cyber incidents. Inconsistent monitoring of ways to improve and secure the grid by these little invisible engineers. They sometimes can make our life very interesting. Our staff electrical engineer, Jaron Smith, he's our main subject matter expert for all the compliance on those standards and the demands. In this transition year, and I call it a transition year because of sliding over with Missouri River, they have extensive experience with NERC, and they've been outstanding in offering their assistance through requirement updates, emails, verbal communications. They just really have been great, as well as they use the same consultant that we do, Terry Volkman, which has been a huge asset to both of us to help each other understand the transmission responsibilities and assets each entity has and integrate these together on how we can support each other, as well as we venture into the possible new transmission assets with GRE and updating the Wilmer and the Priam substation. MRES will be very significant in that, and Terry's giving us the information as to what's important, what isn't, where our weaknesses may be or our strengths. Some of the activities in our compliance in 2019, with the assistance of Terry Volkman, we were able to deregister WMU as a distribution provider, which reduced the burden of two standards for 2020, and we remain a NERC transmission owner. We're responsible in 2019 for 18 standards and 52 requirements and 50-plus sub-requirements. The filing of the quarterly reports, the MIDAS, which is the Miss Operations, and our vegetation outage reports were completed. We added the Priam substation to our compliance obligations in our program, which meant updating a lot of our policies and doing a lot of the year-end work early, which will be completed again now at the end of the year. And in order to include the Priam substation, we went and amended our restated operations and maintenance agreement with GRE for transmission operator service and the operations and maintenance services that GRE provides the Wilmer and the Priam substation. We participated in various MRO conferences and WebExes throughout the year. reviewing the standards to be updated in 2020. Currently, we have three standards that will be updated on the docket. And it does not, we canceled out two of them by eliminating the, I made a blank, by eliminating the distribution provider. However, more of those little engineers I talked about keep creating more for us. We tested all the substation battery units as required. Transmission line patrol was completed. Currently, I'm in the final review of all updated and respective NERC-related policies. And then I did not have, we did not have any audits requirements or any audits or self-reports, self-certifications for 2019, but I do believe we're going to have some coming up in 2020. So we're also in the process of working through an agreement with Missouri River and GRE to change our NERC transmission planner from GRE to Missouri River for future system modeling. So thank you for your continued support and dedication to the grid and compliance. And do you have any questions?
Just one more advantage I see of belonging with MRES on some of these compliance issues, because they do change frequently and add to it. So thank you very much for your report. Unless there's questions from anyone, thank you very much.
Thank you
for the report. Okay, now we move on here, and I'd ask our Director of Finance, Denise Mungy, to give us our monthly financial report and update.
Thank you. We'll start by taking a look at our electric division. I'll just give a highlight of our revenues and expenses and our bottom line for each division. On the electric side, we had revenues of $30,338,637, which is $108,569 ahead of last year at this time. Expenses, $23,135,374. Expenses down compared to last year, $119,880. And overall retained earnings on the electric division, $5,740,709, which is $544,347 ahead of last year at this point in the year. Taking a look at our water division, revenue $2,700,585, which is $222,481 ahead of last year at that point in the year. Expenses $1,627,005, which is $13,870 less than last year. And overall margins $1,130,504, which is up $254,357 compared to last year. On the heating division, revenues of $445,465, which is $283,558 less than last year. Expenses $303,866, which is $393 less than last year. And overall margins $181,445, which is $170,561 less than last year at this point in the year. Our overall combined statement, our revenues are up $47,493, expenses down $234,143, and overall margins $7,052,658. We are $628,142 ahead of last year at this point in the year overall. Following the financial statements is just our graphs of the revenue, expenses, and retained earnings. Are there any questions on any of the financial statements? All right, we'll also take a look at the final statement is our investment portfolio. Our year-to-date yield is 2.75%. Questions on any of the financials or the investment summary?
Any questions on that? Let's say we're looking good with all we got coming up. It's as well as retained earnings to see that we have some money there to money to spend there along the way, but that's good. And we'll just go right on into the cost of the power report then.
Included in the cost of power is the previous 13 months. Comparing last year, we were at 6.4 cents the month of October. This year, we're 6.2. Our overall annual average remains at 6.8%. Or 6.8 cents. Sorry.
Just a quick question. Is it 2025 that one of our long-term contracts, the GRE, is done?
There's a 2025 and then 2033 is the Compass.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Denise on either of these reports? Hearing and seeing none, thank you very much for the report and continue the positive signs there. And then we'll go on to our report on distributed generation, and I would ask our one of those engineers, our staff electrical engineer, to speak. Thank you, Jen.
Thanks, Madam Chair. With the help of Denise and MRES, we have 70 pages of fun for you here. The state of Minnesota has several requirements for reporting on distributed generation. The one we have today is due January 2nd. The Minnesota Public Utilities Commission and the Department of Commerce fortunately provide forms that guide you through what information needs to be reported. We use those forms, but basically it's to ensure that WMU has updated rates and policies on file for our customers who have distributed generation. I've summarized the different schedules or parts of the report in this memo in front of you. Most of the rates contain trade secret information, and MRES provided that to us or provided what we needed for the filing. And then most of the policies come from standard forms that are provided by the state of Minnesota. A couple highlights on page 7 of the PDF. It's Schedule C, calculation of average retail energy rate. We didn't actually list the rate here because in order to calculate the rate, we need to have the total sales from 2019. There's still several days left in 2019, so as soon as we hit the first of the year, we'll complete that calculation and update this page. On page 10, it's the Schedule H wholesale power rates. I should go back up. That average utility energy rate is the rate at which we reimburse distributed generators for providing electricity to our grid. So that's the rate that we would pay them back for any surplus energy they provide to our grid. Which leads me to Schedule H, wholesale power rates. We are able to, if we're a non-generating utility, rather than reimburse them at that average retail utility rate, which is around 10 cents, we can reimburse them at an avoided cost rate, which is more closely related to our cost of power. So for 2020, you'll see on that page 10, it's 2.41 cents. So any interconnected customers we have, whether it's wind or solar, and they produce surplus energy or they add energy onto our grid, we will reimburse them at 2.41 cents per kilowatt hour in 2020. Schedules D are the standard interconnection agreement, which is provided by the state of Minnesota. We simply use what they have provided. It's for less than 100 kW interconnections. And then Schedule E is for the larger interconnection customers. We don't have any at this time, but we follow the MRES policy. It's also very similar to the MMUA policy that covers the standard safety and operating requirements for those larger interconnections. That's the recap of this report. Are there any questions?
Well, I commented to John when I started looking at this here from the state, it brought back nightmares of when our company where I worked had to fill out those reports. So, any questions, comments included in this? There's a lot in there that to look at.
again, thank you for the report, Chairman. And we need a, it looks like we need a motion on that to accept that report on the distributor, again, because it goes into the state and something that's mandatory to do. So I'll make that motion to accept that. Is there a second? This report that Jaren has given us that's required.
I'll second that.
Motion made and second to accept the report. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. That motion carries. Thank you again. Okay, and then we'll go to the Impact Leadership Workshop, and we'll let Janelle discuss that. Ms. Johnson.
On behalf of the staff,
I want to extend a huge thank you to the Commission for approving and allowing Joe Schmidt to come in and speak to our staff. And we had a couple commissioners join us on Silent Impact. Joe's message, Silent Impact, was how we make our biggest impression when we're not trying to be impressive. And he gave us many examples of the real-life situations, from Joe Mauer walking his blind student down to lunch every day in high school, to Chris Carter taking time out for a no-name rookie. And to the one that was really touching was the one his father, being a lifelong mentor to a young boy who lost his father in an accident. And Joe just explained his jealousy of this young boy, only to realize later in life that his father was being a mentor and the impact his father had on that young boy's life. And Joe also talked about his own cancer survivor story and discussed all the people that made an impact for him on that journey. The focus of his message wasn't necessarily on work, but on ourselves and how the things we do at work or at home make an impact on others, positively or negatively. And his message was, choose your actions and your words wisely, because that is your legacy. He worked with us in a large group, and then in small groups, we broke out. One of the priority activities in the groups was he had us come up in small groups and then came together in a large group with 12 resolutions to focus on for the next 12 months. And with that, Joe will be sending us a video that he'll be recording each month with one of those resolutions. And our goal as staff, as people, is to practice that, put it into effect. Change is so hard that if we can put this into a daily practice and be reminded for 12 months that we made these resolutions together as a team at the utility, I think with that type of commitment, we're striving for some success. Joe's written two books, and I didn't grab them. He wrote The Silent Impact, The Stories of Influence Through Purpose, Persistence, and Passion. And then his second book, which is Silent Impact, A Step-by-Step Journey to a Life of Significance, which is the copy you have in front of you. And he had given everybody a copy of that book. If you did not get one, please let me know, and we'll make sure you have a copy of it. He gave away at least a dozen of his first book, The Silent Impact, which I was a lucky winner, and I'm halfway through it, and it's really good. And other staff who have won these books have offered to share theirs so others can read them. So that's great. So I want to encourage you to take some time and browse through the book that you have there. They're quick reads, they're fun reads, and it's just really inspirational. Joe also allowed us to record the 3.5-hour presentation to share in-house with our staff and commission who are not able to join us that day. So if you're interested in viewing it, let us know and we'll get you set up, because it's really worth your time. It was a phenomenal workshop for our staff. The message was clear. The participation was great. And we want to thank you for the opportunity for self-growth and team building on behalf of our staff. The impressions we make through our Silent Impact are part of our journey to a life of significance. And I truly believe but our staff was impacted. I didn't see a sleepy eye in the room. And the interaction was really great. It was a fun day, and I really think it was an impactful day. So thank you. Thank you very much. I don't know if Bruce or Zach, you were both there, if you have anything to add, but I will say, Zach, I was very impacted by some of the items you shared and your journey thus far. So there was a little discussion afterwards, and other people in our group expressed the same thing. So thank you for sharing that. So I'll turn it over to you, so thank you.
Okay. Any comments?
I guess it was, you know, it was a very excellent presentation he gave, and it really makes you think of a lot of things in your life and how you interact with people.
I think it was a great, you know, impact, you know, like just giving time to yourself and looking back and really realizing, you know, how many, especially the comment that he used when sending someone, you know, that impacted on your life, I have a really great response, you know, shocking, you know, after I discussed with them, you know, after that day. So I think it was a moving, it was an impact.
Sometimes we don't even realize the impact that we have, like you say, with words or actions until we later on and it comes back to us. Okay, thank you very much, Janelle, for that. And I'll say you're welcome from the commission for providing that. Next, we'll go on to our general manager's report, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Last meeting was asked how much energy we receive from Missouri River Energy Services. And looking at the data, energy alone is about 20%. So they're picking up what we produce at the plant, which was their typical 5 megawatts every hour, every day of the year. And in addition to that, they are also picking up what we received off the open market, which was all our off-peak power, which was late evenings and weekends. So that's equivalent to approximately 20% of the total. So that's what they're picking up there. Reappointments. The council has reappointed Commissioner Mattern to our open seat of 2-year terms, and Commissioner DeBleek and Commissioner Mabu to the 3-year terms, basically reappointments. Our open seat, hopefully they will appoint an individual to our open seat at the next council meeting, which I believe is the 7th of January. Somewhere in there. Anyway, so hopefully we'll have full commission at that point in time. Other items that are not on there, we have additional items for our planning committee as well as labor committee. Planning committee will consist of our personnel policies, commission staff evaluation. On the labor committee side, we'll need more discussion on our power plant, phase one and phase two, city opportunity zone that the city is working on, the incentives there, as well as our building project. So be more upcoming meetings as we move into the new year. Any additional questions?
I don't think so. And I guess that those meetings are not going to be 10-minute meetings. So, again, thank you, commissioners, for all your participation in making the commission, the utility, run smoothly with your time that's spent on it as a commitment to the utilities, but it's also a commitment to our community. So, thank you this year, and we'll look forward to 2020 being another excellent year and lots of impact being made. Anything else to come before the commission today? Anything on any of the things that we've gone over in the meeting today? No comments? The meeting is adjourned.